out for our history, or actually life on the islands of Cousins and Little John before the bridge. The important thing I want to let everybody know is, in case somebody needs it, we are being allowed to use the community house for the restroom. You go up the handicap ramp and in through that back door. Just don't let the door shut, because I have a brick holding it open. Otherwise, the place is locked up tighter than a drum. So, tonight, we are going to be having Neo Kenny and myself doing Cousins history. We have Bob Gifford, who will be doing Little John history. We each will be talking about our portion of the lecture or discussion or memories or whatever you want to call it. And afterwards, if there's any questions, we'd be more than happy to answer them, but we'd like everybody to get through a quick bio of how long they've been here, why they're here, etc. So, I think without further ado, Mio, you're up.
We are one of the rare birds left who had the pleasure of spending summers on the island before the bridge. The way you can tell the people who have been here before, look on their windowsills in their cottages. They're filled with shells and sand dollars and rocks from the beach. And if you look in the closets, they're usually clothes that have been here for about 60 years. We're a very comfortable group. We came early. We recognized the value of the environment. We recognized the peace and quiet. We got along well. And I am starting with coming in 1936, I was 10. We had just gone through the Depression. Money was hard to get. People were really just struggling. When you came to the island, it was delightful because it was basic vacation, no frills, no electricity. Imagine. No hair dryers, no lights. For water, you would go into the fields and use the pump. There was a pump by some of the sinks. And we had rain barrels out, used salt water soap, and there was springs that we would get our drinking water from. I was appalled when MDOT came along and clogged up the spring by the wharf. That was the one that had been used for decades around Harmony Hill, right by the wharf. I have to look once in a while. When you get to be 93, you sometimes lose things. People from Portland did not really accept the islands, except for maybe the Hinckleys and the Bowkers. The rest just figured they were part of the landscape. Even Yarmouth called us Hog Island. There was no love lost. People in Portland would go over to Peaks to see a play or something, but they mostly preferred the lakes. We came at the wharf, not over the way the bridge comes. On the east side, the wharf was rebuilt in 1922. It went out in a storm in 1921. And the people on Cousins Island collected money and had the Cousins Wharf and Improvement Company, and they issued shares of stock. There's still some stock. There's a picture of one floating around. The Hacks had some, and I think the Bowkers had some shares of stock. And it was rebuilt in 1922. Now, the town of Yarmouth bought the island Wharf in 1971 for $71 with quick claim from the Gray Line. There were no frills, as I say, no electricity, water. We had three cars, maybe four. The Gibsons had a car that had a 1934 Shanghai license plate, right, Shirley? And the rest of it, we walked. We walked everywhere. There was one bicycle down at Harmony Hill, and people would borrow it. I remember once my dad borrowed it to come over to Little John to go shopping. And as he was going down the hill in Little John, he noticed that there was a piece of bread floating out of the bag. By the time he got home, we had a half a loaf. We always called that Popping Bread Road. Each island had a store. Each island had its post office. We each had a fire department somewhat. The pumper, I believe, that went in the little house next door beyond the community house is over town, according to the harbor master, the pumper. And for rescue, we didn't seem to need rescue except when Catherine Tinker broke her leg and they put her on a door and took, and she went on a lobster boat into Portland. It was a sort of do-it-yourself life. Let's see. There were three families in the winter. The Talbots lived what is now Talbot Road on the left-hand side before you get to the bridge. Raymond grew up on the island. He went to school next door when it was just a school before it was added on for the community house. And he was in charge of taking the mail back and forth from the post office to the boat four times a day. He did the road repair. He delivered the ice. He did the winter patrol. He was the handyman. We counted on him for everything. He was a wonderful friend. Now, his wife, Carrie, came up from the Boston area when the Prescotts arrived with her entourage, with seamstresses and cooks and housekeepers and so forth. And she married Raymond, and they had Ed and Stanley. And one time when I came up from Boston, early in the season, we got off at the float, and there was Ed, this great big fisherman with a bottle, a baby bottle, feeding a seal. And he explained that mother seals do not take care of twin seals very well. So he had purposely fed this baby seal until it was ready to go back into the water by itself. The second family was Edith Whiting Yaffe. She lived across from the Talbots on Talbot Road. She was a famous portrait artist, more famous in Washington, D.C. than Cape Cod. She did portraits of Alice Roosevelt Longworth, General Billy Mitchell in World War I. She went up to the part of New York near the Cornings and did a lot of the Corning children. And if later on, when the screen is taken away, you will notice we took a picture. She had done a picture for us in 1950, and we used that for part of the stained glass window behind the screen. She was quite a character. One time she arrived by plane on Birch Point, which is where CMP is now. She stepped out of the plane. This was the late 1920s, and there was not much money around. Her pocketbook opened, and dollar bills swirled around, and the Groves children had a wonderful time collecting them before they went into the bay. they had 28 cats, Maine Coon cats. And every day she would go and clam for the cats. One time she kept throwing the clam shells into the chicken coop. And one time she gave one of our friends an egg. And they made a chocolate cake out of this precious egg. This was during the war and they didn't have eggs. And the chocolate tasted exactly like clams. The third family was the Groves family that lived on Birch Point. And they had a farm and they let their animals roam all winter, and it kept Cousins Island cropped. A lot of the saplings didn't have a chance. We had more fields than Little John, and they would hay the fields, and it was wonderful because we could see right down to Portland. It was clear going, except for around Madeline Point. It was very woodsy. The Groves would go into Yarmouth in the winter. Mrs. Groves would be the housekeeper, and the children would go to NYA. And that worked out fine. A few years ago, I remember Franklin was talking to Florence Weil. Evidently, the Groves children had lived with the Weils for several winters, and they were discussing about what it was like with this house full of children. So that was a good way to get their education. Next, we have the teachers and a lot of ministers and a lot of families. But the teachers and the ministers came because they had long summer vacations. And this was an economical place to come. In fact, when we first came, there were a lot of for sale signs on a lot of the cottages. And they were for sale for quite a number of years. Nobody had the $500 to buy a cottage. This was a luxury item for the second home. The teachers would come, there was around Harmony Hill, there were four houses of teachers from the Philadelphia, Washington area because they got away from the heat. And there was a whole batch of young girls, 12, 13, 14, and we challenged the teachers to a volleyball game after supper one night. We were the sharks, and they were the minnows. And they did beautifully. It wasn't until later that they said, well, you know, we all were physical vet and teachers before we became principals. We didn't have a prayer. There were a lot of separate neighborhoods. There was Harmony Hill down by the wharf, and that included the two houses on Spruce Point. Then you'd come to the middle of the island, the crossroad between Cousins Street and the main road, and Wharf Road, had a big farmhouse called the Ridge House, and there were a few houses along the main road. Birch Point, where Rose Farm was, had a clump of summer cottages. And Madeline Point had some, and then over here, the Cold Spring. Now, Lee will probably tell you more about that area, because that's where she is best at. As far as Rose were concerned, because they only had three cars, we had a road from Birch Point clear out to Sea Meadows, usually with grass growing down the center. And there was a road from Madeline Point down to the wharf. They didn't have names. There were a few side roads. People knew where people lived by the name of the cottages. That was the way, the understanding. The mailboat was the big thing of the day. First of all, how did we get here? Well, we had two mail two boats. The little one from Falmouth Foreside was Nellie G. It went from Cousins to Little John to Shabib, and several times a day. If you needed a ride into Portland, they had a little jitney that left you in Congress Square. People left their cars in the fields and then went and spent the summer or a month's vacation out here. The other, and they had a late boat on Friday night and Saturday night. Somebody had to walk out to Spruce Point. There was a wooden tower, and they lit the lantern out there for the boat. The other boat line was Casco Bay, Inner Bay. It went from Cousins, Little John, Buston's, Mere Point. Birch went twice a day, round trip. They brought mail and milk and
ice.
Right. Passengers. But the main part was it came around 11:30 at Cousins, and we would wait patiently, watching down the bay, for the mail boat to come. When it came, we would climb on top of the truck from Raymond Talbot was driving up to the post office. Now, the post office changed according to the postmistress. When we first came here, it was at the Ridge House on the corner of Wharf and Cousins, but it had been on just Cousins Street for a while. I still just have to think about what the road's names are. We would ride on the truck up to the post office and then wait while Gladys Hamilton sorted the mail. And we met everybody else from the island. It was a great social time, just that half hour when we would all mingle together from all parts of the islands. Very special. We never bothered with an evening mail collection. That we waited for the next morning. We had outings once in a while as a special trip.
Can you hear me?
As a special outings, Harold Sawyer would bring his Handy Andy to either Little John and Cousins, and we'd go to Jewel Island. We would gather the wood. He would have a lobster bake. We would beach comb, had a wonderful time there. One year we went to Whaleboat. I think it was when they were starting to put fortifications in Portland Harbor, and we were not allowed to go to Whaleboat. Our other outings were, we would motor over or sail over to Chandler's Cove to see our friends from Shabib, or else we would paddle. I remember paddling over there and coming home as the waves were coming broadside on our canoe. And one of the passengers in the canoe was her first year as a nursing student at Columbia Presbyterian. And the first thing on her mind was, we can't tip over, we just ate. Yeah. Our typical day was, now our household was rather busy. I had an older sister and a younger brother, and we always had a collection of an extra friend, my cousins, my grandparents from Portland came out, and there we were. We had a chore chart, so the first one up could sign up what they wanted to do. You could sweep the living room and porch. Of course, no vacuum cleaner, because we didn't have electricity. You could attend to the kerosene lamps, make sure the chimneys were clean, or you could bring in the wood. If it had been a cool night, they used the wood stove in the kitchen the night before, lug some water in, or throw lye down the outhouse. And
Yeah, I looked at that when I was trying to figure out what other chores we had, and I thought, how many people would relate to lie down the outhouse? We had no indoor plumbing. So, after the chores were done, we were on our own. We would beach comb, swim. One of our favorite things about swimming was to take the seaweed and slide down the rocks. They wasn't very good for bathing suits. We would go mucking around to get clay and make pots, let it dry in the sun. We found a wonderful place for sand dollars. We just kept busy. And there was always something to do. One of the times when we rented the house that I have been in for over 50 years, my parents had rented it, we found a box of old bathing suits. And five of us put them on, walked down to the dock, and just as a boat came in, and as it left, we all jumped in. My brother came up, then went down, and came up again. We said, what's the matter with you? And well, the bottom had slid off. So we had to wait for a towel for him. But I was rather appalled when I found Alan Hall's book on Yarmouth, and there among the what to do in the summer or summer islands was a picture of us in the old-fashioned bathing suits. I had given him my book to look through, not realizing he was going to use some of the photographs. You have to bear with me when the eyes go. What I missed most was quiet. We used to sit and be able to hear the fish. Things have changed so. We are so blessed that we had the chance to be there when it was quiet and when we enjoyed the nature. Our town meeting was a big deal. Everybody came, young and old. They were discussing what to do with $1,000. We had paid our taxes to Yarmouth, and we were allowed $1,000 to take care of the mail 4 times a day, take care of the roads, take care of the trash, allow for winter patrol, and I guess law enforcement, but some of the times people purposely left their cottages unlocked in case of the farmer hunter needed to come in for shelter in the winter. But can you imagine? And finally, I think the allotment went up to $1,500. But this was everybody came next door to the community house. I was trying to ask Winifred Blanchard, who grew up on the island and was born in 1898, I was trying to ask her as much as I could about life on the island. And when they found projectile points at the crest of Harmony Hill, I said, do you remember any Indians camping here? And she said, well, I lived up on the main road. And she said, but there was a family of Indians on Mosier Island, and the father would paddle the two little children over to the school right next door every day. So they went to the community house. The school next door was the school until it became a community house when they enlarged it. But up until that point, people came over there. And she would tell me great tales of growing up way, way before. But anyway, next we have, let's see. Yeah, it would help if I could read my writing. I am going to concentrate on Harmony Hill because I knew that the best. And that's the place right by the wharf. The first house on the left, on the right-hand side, had a big boarding house. People from Montreal would come down and stay at the Casco House. That was built in 1898, but it burned down in 1902. Now, they said that the kitchen was across the street to hopefully avoid fire on some of these houses, but unfortunately, it didn't work. Then Lingamore was built, and the Donovans live in Lingamore now. Quite a few years ago, a professor from Connecticut Wesleyan came and took a core sample of the rock in front of Lingamore Cottage. That's the one, the rock was the one we slid down with the seaweed. And it was on a dike from New Haven, Connecticut to the front of Lingamore through Bob, your house, to on to Christmas Cove and the Canadian border. When June Donovan came back and saw that the core, the sample had been taken out of the top of the rock, she was not happy, so she called the professor and made him come and fill it in because she said, with the freezing and thawing, it would damage the rock. And I thought, that was very sensible to have. And it was interesting because when we were children and would swim at that beach, that rock was particularly the favorite because it was the warmest. When we'd get out of the water, we'd head right for that rock. And the house next to it, the second house on the right-hand side, was Aunt Rebecca Hamilton's house. It was built in 1840. And the person who built it owned the Pogie factory. Now the Pogie factory was down on the Pogie shore, the little beach down near the wharf. And you can see to this day the outline of where the building was. And they boiled up the fish and sold the fish oil, evidently. There was another Pogie factory over on Birch Point where CMP is. And Aunt Rebecca's cottage became the Brownie when they painted it brown, and then it was Seabreeze. And that's what the first house we moved into when we rented it. It had an addition put on after the bridge came through.
Let's see.
I think I'm going to head us to World War II. Because this was in 1942, Pearl Harbor was 41, when we first came up here. Afterwards, we all needed Coast Guard permits to get on the boat. And we thought that that was rather ridiculous because Captain Sweat and Captain Hamilton knew who we were, the government issues. There was a submarine net between Sandy Point and Drinkwater Point, and there were the barracks there on Sandy Point with 12 soldiers. And when we got here, they said they had never been so cold in their lives. Well, evidently the barracks was not insulated too well. We had blackout curtains, and in our house we had black rubber ponchos with the kerosene lamps at nighttime. It was not very pleasant. And if one little bit of light showed through the searchlight over the stone pier in Chabi would shine on that cottage until that light was extinguished. And then we did not make it up in 1943. It's the first only year I've missed since 1936 because nobody had any gas. Nobody had it. And the tires, we couldn't get tires. So in 44, when we came up, we would go to the top of Harmony Hill and looked down into Portland at the South Portland shipyard. It went 24 hours a day. And one night we watched boat after boat after boat headed out Hussey Sound. Now, Portland is 300 miles closer to Europe than any other port on the eastern seaboard in the United States. And the next night, the next morning, we went up to the top of the hill and they were gone. They were headed for Europe. A few years later, the boys started coming back home. In the meantime, the girls sort of pitched in, did the maintenance and the hard work around here. But we were awful glad to see them come home, although three of them never did make it. That was a bad percentage for Cousins Island. Now, I'm going to be turning this over to, Lee. In the meantime, remember, even though the bridge is here, it is only a link to the mainland. We are still an island with fragile ecosystem. Please, all treat it gingerly. Take good care of it. Okay, Lee.